This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton again, talking to you on another Saturday afternoon. And we come to you from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stuart, Florida, a church that we've been pastors, co-pastors of for almost 25 years now. In January, it'll be 25 years. So we're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned for the whole program. And most of you that listen, we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And we have this hour goes by so fast when we start talking about things in the Word of God. But we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. As we mentioned up front, if you can't, we do offer CDs or tapes, whatever you want. And we'd be glad to mail it out to you. All you have to do is send in a love offering, whatever the Lord tells you. And give us the date, and we'll begin to send it out to you. I mentioned last week about our calendars that we offer to people. I'm going to mention that again up front. We have a circular calendar in my book that I wrote, and it really clarifies the thing about the calendar, because we need to understand the calendar before we can understand a lot of the things in the Bible. And we offer that to you for free. All we ask for is a self-stamped envelope and mail it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. The zip is 34995, and we'll be glad to mail it out to you. It's got the prophetic calendars that I'm thinking about more than anything else. It's got the prophetic calendar plus the civil calendar, and it's a circular, you know, because God is cyclic. It shows you how these months come around every single year, and that way you can begin to pick up the names and the months and all that. And when you read something in the scriptures where it says the fifth month, the sixth day, you'll say, "What month is that?" And you'll say, "Well, what month is that?" And you can determine that real quick if you understand the calendar. And it tells you what season that the statement's being made in, and it helps you understand what the purpose of it would be at a particular time. That's why we need to know the history of a lot of things that happened with Israel, especially the seven appointed times, or in Leviticus chapter 23, to reveal these things to us prophetically, what God's doing today. He's on the move today, isn't he, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
So Donna and I co-pastor this church here in Stuart, and we have now for, wow, as I mentioned a while ago, it'll soon be 25 years, Pastor Donna. It's hard to believe. But anyway, we're honored to be here with you. Hope you stay tuned for the whole hour. So enjoy what you hear, not because of Donna and I, but because we're going to give you the things from the Word of God. This is our foundation. This is the standard that we're on. And we want to raise the standard in the body of Christ, even as you heard on the intro as we came on the air. We do a lot with the Hebraism and all. And I believe every single word in this Bible, that I have my King James Bible before me, is for us today. Right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
God
Amen.
Has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His Word's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
So, and it will be tomorrow,
and
like
will,
you said, go on and on.
It's going to go on and Amen. On. It never changes. Aren't we glad?
Praise the Lord. Well, I want to say hello to you out there, and we want to thank you for listening, and also we're on the internet, so you can listen to us in your car or in your radio at home, or you can also listen to us on the internet And while we're thinking of that, I'll mention Roscoe and Audrey, who is listening to us on Hallelujah. The internet over on,
bless them, Lord.
On Andros Island. And that's our sister church over there building the Temple of God on Andros Island.
In the Bahamas.
I want to say hello to you in the Bahamas. And bless you. And I know you had a wonderful Passover like we did. We had a wonderful Passover and Resurrection Sunday this past weekend. And it was just a wonderful time. And so I want to mention the WCNO.com. So you can also listen to this broadcast again on WCNO.com. And they have podcasts of many programs that we've done and others have done. And you just need to go and look on the program guide on for Saturday at 12 o'clock noon, and you'll see Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and the radio and the program's name is Raising the Standard, and that's what the Lord spoke to us about doing, raise the standard in the body of Christ, and to speak truth.
That's right.
So that's, we want to be truth seekers, and we pray that you are all out there wanting to know the truth as well. And so that's why, one of the reasons why we feel that the Lord has called us to teach and to for people to understand the feasts of the Lord.
Absolutely.
Because then if we understand the feasts of the Lord, then we will understand we will understand the Bible better, because God's many things are around the feasts of the Lord, and especially we know Passover was about his death and resurrection, and we talked about the other things that also happened on Nisan 17, and of course we know now we're in the first month, that month, the beginning of the year, in Nisan, so the next feast that we will be talking about will be Pentecost.
Pentecost is coming up. We're right now, we're going to start counting the Omer now, aren't we?
They have already started counting.
They already started
the Omer,
it, yes.
Right, that's right. And so I want to give our telephone number in case somebody would like to phone us or call. And like he said, you know, if you'd like to help support this radio broadcast, you can send that love offering to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Mm-hmm. And that's Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Or just put SOP. They'll know what it is. Post Office Box 13. Or 413, 413.
Yes.
So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We're right on Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza Shopping Center. We have Friday night at 7 p.m. and Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Today we will not have anything this Saturday, but we do have things on other Saturdays to be announced. So we'll be here Friday, here last night, and we'll be here Sunday on 10 a.m. Sunday morning. Amen?
That's right.
And this week we celebrate the birthdays. We have about 5 birthdays this month we're going to celebrate.
Hallelujah.
This Sunday. And we always have a little meal after our service every Sunday. So if you're coming, you know, from Palm Beach or Vero or wherever you're coming from, just come, plan on staying the day and have a little little dinner with us, a little lunch, dinner, a brunch, whatever you want to call it. We always do have that on Sunday after our services, and we have fellowship because we come together, what, to worship, to pray for each other, to learn, to teach,
fellowship.
And have fellowship.
That's
right. So it's a wonderful time to get to know each other.
That's right. The Bible tells us in the last days, what?
Not
tells
to
us
forsake.
In Hebrews, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even as we see the day approaching. Every day we're getting closer to that day when the Lord's going to come back, and so we want to honor that. It's wonderful talking with people, and they all have thoughts and understanding from the Word of God and the things we talk about, and we don't disagree and have arguments. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just discussing the things in the Word of God. And
I just heard something in the Spirit, Pastor Jane, that Yeshua came out of the grave on Nisan 17, and during those next 40 days, he spent time with his disciples, and there's some very important things that he taught them. And it's in our Bible, and he taught them he taught them some hard things that they had a hard time understanding before the resurrection. But once they realized who he was, you know, and they spent time with him, and they walked with him, and they ate with him, and you know, and he spent many times, 40 days.
That's right, a long time after his resurrection.
40 days before Pentecost.
Yeah.
And like you said, this is the time of counting the Omer, and so they were counting those days. And they knew something was going to happen on Pentecost. They didn't know what, but they knew something was going to happen.
The Lord told them so,
Even the Lord told them so. But I'm thinking that maybe we should teach, share on some of the things that the Lord shared on during that time, those 40 days, because he taught them some things that they really didn't have. They had a hard time understanding before they knew he was resurrected, before they knew who he really was, because they were looking, at that time in Israel, they weren't looking for a suffering
servant.
They
were looking for a reigning king, weren't they?
They were looking for a king because they were under a lot of oppression.
That's right.
They were wanting someone to come and to be the king, and to take them out from the Romans and all the things that they had suffered for so many years. Mm-hmm. So they were looking for a Messiah, and it tells us about that over in, I think you were in Isaiah and many other places. They were looking for a Messiah, but they, at that point, they didn't realize how the Messiah was going to come until after the resurrection, until they knew who he was, and they knew that he had to come as the son to take away, the sin, so we could come into the kingdom, so they could come into the kingdom of God and not have the same kind of sacrifices that they had in the past, because it didn't work.
Nope.
It didn't work. So he taught them some really... Can you think of
one thing,
I know I'm putting you on the spot, but can you think of one of the things that he taught them after he rose from the grave, about one of the things that they were able to understand?
Well, one thing I think they understood at that point in time, I'm sure he shared with them, was that he was the final sacrifice that would ever be required for any sin at any time. And so it's locking it into, we only have one Messiah. It's not, there's not 25 different thoughts how we get to into heaven like we have, we're here in the church and all, and other people teach, and we have different things about this and that, that there's many ways to get to the kingdom of God. Well, he made it quite clear, because he told them, I am the way, the truth, and life, and that no man cometh to the Father except by me. So he made that clear, we know. And the interesting thing, though, in Acts chapter 1, it tells you that during those 40 days, that he was teaching them things of what? Of the kingdom of God. And here, here he's risen from the grave and spent those 40 days with them. So there's a lot of things that he taught them, he told them earlier that they had been given the privilege to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And he shared a lot of those mysteries. Look at, we could think about Matthew chapter 13 with those seven parables that Jesus told that would reveal his life, what he came to accomplish and do, and what the purpose of all it was, because he is the Word of God. And we know that, I'm sure he talked a lot about that, because chapter 13 is incredible, the things that was brought forth in that chapter. And so the first four parables he talked about, it's really only one, but they were all joined together. But there's four examples of the soil that the seed, the Word of God, would go into that would produce great things out into the world. And he talked about that, the sower of the seed. Well, we know he is the seed, and he was the sower back then. So I'm sure he was sharing some things with them, that now that I'm going back to my Father, now you need to be prepared to start sowing the seed just like I did. And I think he taught a lot about that, to plant the seed into people's hearts, that they would realize that there's no other way into the kingdom of God except through him. And I think that was really a key one. And those are amazing parables. There's seven of them in chapter 13 of Matthew. And if we can understand those things, well, then we'll be in a better place too. And so he told them that they had been given the privilege to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The mysteries, the sods, the hidden things in the Hebrew, in the scriptures. And so he revealed a lot of those to them. And what I thought about was like the parable of the tares in the wheat, for instance, Pastor Donna. Mm-hmm. He told them that when he shared that, and then at the end, the disciples didn't understand. So remember, they went to him individually and asked him to explain it. That's the only parable that explained every single detail in that parable at that time. And as he did that, then they began to realize, when he talked about the field and that understanding or teaching, it's talking about the world. And he talked about all those things. And so he opened their eyes to see that message there about the tares and the wheat was going to go down through a lot of years until Jesus comes back. And we still have that today. We still have tares in the church today.
And I'm over here, and I just happened to open to that. It's mentioned in Luke and another place too.
Okay.
And I thought I would just read that part when he gave him the answer. The other thing is, I don't think they really understood about being born again.
That's right.
Until after the resurrection.
Even Nicodemus didn't know that, did he?
And he was a teacher, and he knew the law.
That's right.
But he went to Jesus. He went to Yeshua. That's what they called him. They called him Yeshua. They didn't call him Jesus in those days. But he went to Yeshua, and he spoke to him, and he asked him, but did he really understand at that time, even when Jesus explained it to him, you know? He probably didn't, you know, but this one about, you were talking about the parable of the sower, it says over here in Luke chapter 8, verse 10, it says, mm-hmm. and this is, and Jesus is speaking, he says, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God.
That's right.
So he wants us to know the mysteries, right?
That's right, absolutely.
But to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now we got to remember too, he's talking to his brethren, the Jewish people.
Jewish people.
Amen. To Israel. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And we all need to know this too. The seed is
That's
the
right.
word of God. And so where is the word of God planted? In our hearts.
Our heart, yeah.
Amen. Verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. Now he's telling us that there is a devil.
There's an enemy.
You know, a lot of people don't believe there is a devil, but there is a devil. And he taketh away the word, which was the seed, out of their hearts.
So he steals it, doesn't he?
So the seed of God, the word of God, needs to be planted. It needs to go into our hearts. Well, mm-hmm. if it's not planted in there, you know, and taken care of, then it can be stolen. He says, lest they should believe and be saved. So there's some by the wayside. They hear the word, and then who comes? The thief comes to steal. It says that in John 10:10. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy.
Yes.
And verse 13 says, and they on the rock, so this is another type of seed, are mm-hmm. they, so some seeds fell on the rock, which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. Mm-hmm. They're happy. They have the joy of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And these have no root. Amen. And which for a while believe. They believe for a while. And in time, temptation fall, they fall away.
Mm-hmm.
The temptation comes and they fall away. Now, you know, have you ever known somebody who fell away?
Yeah,
they came to the Lord, they asked Jesus into the heart,
yeah.
and they fell away.
That's
well,
right.
was it really planted deep in their heart, and it
nope.
didn't really take root? And verse 14, and that which fell among the thorns. So now we know that there's some that's going to fall in thorns, a thorny ground.
That's right.
Which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. So things of this life are more important to them
That's right.
than the kingdom of God.
Because
mm-hmm. they don't know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which mm-hmm. is in Matthew 6:33.
Yep.
It says the riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So that's how many? That's what, 3 out of 4?
Mm-hmm.
But that on the good ground, this is the fourth one, are they which in an honest and good heart, see, you have to have an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. It says in the Bible, it says, with patience possess your soul.
That's what it says, yeah. Luke 21,
says yeah. With patience possess your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That's right.
So that's one right there, you know, that he explained to them what that parable meant about the parable of the sower.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
So there's a lot of things in this particular chapter in Luke and in Matthew as well that covers so many things. But I always thought about, they didn't understand the parable of the sower of the seed. And the things talking about the tares and the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
So he explained that. And I thought I'm going to go over to Matthew. And let's just read that with the Lord here. We hope you have ears to hear. I'm going to go to Matthew 13.
You know, Jesus, while you're going there, Jesus okay. said he only said and what he heard the Father tell him. He only did what the Father told
Absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely.
You know, there wasn't, so every word that he says in this word is life to
mm-hmm.
us. And it's truth. It's truth. Because he only says, so the words that we're reading are the words really of the Father, God's
That's
words.
Right.
And Jesus is God. So, and he talked to them too about the one, about the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that the Jewish people didn't understand, because that,
yeah.
Well, that could be a long, in-depth teaching, because there is.
They don't. They don't understand
there is
that today.
One Lord.
Yes,
the Bible says that.
Yeah.
When they talk in the Torah, the books, the first five books, and it talks about one God. That's true. One God.
One unique God.
But not understanding the Godhead.
That's right.
And some of these Bibles have taken out the scriptures about the Godhead. They don't even use the word Godhead. The King James Bible does use the word Godhead. So with them not understanding the Godhead is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then there's confusion. So I'm sure that the Jewish people, you know, he shared that with them, that, you know, who he was. And they saw who he was. And they even saw him go up into heaven after that time. They were there. They saw him ascend into heaven after the resurrection,
the
after those 40 days.
Sure, yeah.
Those disciples and many other people saw him go up into the sky and to return to the Father. You know, just his body. Because he had a literal body.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked with them. He talked with them. He ate with them.
That's right.
You know, and he had them. He said, "Feel my hands. Feel my side."
Mm-hmm.
They saw this. They saw the wounds in him.
That's right.
And his feet. They saw that.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them actually saw it. But he said, What about those who believe without seeing?
That's right.
Because we need faith, don't we?
And Thomas was one he had to see.
He had to see.
And that's what Jesus told Thomas. He says, "You've seen it, now you believe. But there's going to be many that's going to come that are going to believe my word. Never seen, but they will believe in me."
That's right. So, but that was a good example that he did see.
That's right.
So to bring forth that other truth that Jesus said, he used that truth of him being able to see to bring forth the truth that about what you just said about faith, about
by
believing
faith.
By faith.
By faith. That's how we all come.
We see by faith.
That's right.
And so we need to we see in the natural, but we also have to see by faith.
That's it.
So because faith and hearing of the word and the study of the word, it causes our faith to bloom, to blossom, to grow.
That's right.
Amen.
And so really, I've never seen the Lord personally, but when we think about it, we see him in this book called the Holy Bible.
Amen.
He's on every page.
That's right.
And if we don't believe in the Bible, then we've got a problem. But we have to trust this as God's word. And it's been in place for all these years. So we have to keep that in mind. But I was thinking about what you're talking there about the parable of the wheat and the tares that Jesus talked about. I'm sure they didn't understand that one. And so this was the one they asked him personally about, and he had to explain it to them. And this should help everybody. And so I'm going to go to Matthew 13 with you. And let's see where I'm going to go to chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse 24 with you. Let's read some scriptures here and just see what it has to say. "Another parable put he," who's the he? It's Yeshua, "forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." Now remember, we mentioned a moment ago, the field is always, this, you'll see this in the parable, the field always represents the world, okay? The seed is what? Donna mentioned what? The word of God.
Amen.
"But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Now, if you don't know anything about tares, it's called darnel. And when it grows up in the field with the wheat, it looks like wheat, but it's a counterfeit. And it looks exactly like wheat as it grows, but when the wheat comes to maturity, wheat flops over like it's bowing to the Lord. The tares don't. It stands up straight up, never bows over, and it's got these little black seeds all over it. So it's a counterfeit of what true wheat looks like. All right. Now, verse 26 now. "But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also." See, they grew up at the same time. "So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And here's what Yeshua said. He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" And look what the response was. "But he said, Nay," means no, "lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also," what, "the wheat with them." And I wonder today, I don't know what they do with wheat today in these fields, unless they have some kind of fertilizer or some kind of pesticide they put on to keep the tares from coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But how did they had to go out, I guess, in this day and separate the tares by hand. That must have been a laborious job to get that done. And so he told them no. He says, don't be concerned. I'm going to read 29 again. "Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Well, this is we're going to find out here as we read the rest of the parable, as it's explained. We'll find out what the harvest is all about. It's referring to the great harvest at the end. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. This is the counterfeits.
Mm-hmm.
And bind them in bundles and to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Okay? Now, we go down a little bit further here. Where do I want to go here? Go down to verse 36 with me if you're reading your Bible. Verse 36. I was going to go before that, but this is a good place. Verse 36. Then Yeshua sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. So they didn't understand what he said here, and now he's going to explain it to them. And he makes it clear, if they don't understand these parables, they won't understand anything that the Lord was going to tell them. So, verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So that tells you who's the Son of Man? It's Yeshua. The field is the world. We told you that a little bit ago. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. And this time he's talking about what? The Jewish people. He's talking to the Jews. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Well, who's that? Satan. The devil himself.
Amen.
Now, verse 39. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. So he explains every element of this. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
This is really precious. Now, I got a note in my Bible here about Matthew 8:12. I want to see if this is what I want to share here with you. I'm going to back up to chapter 8. And let's just see what this says. Chapter 8, verse 12 says this. And the children of the kingdom, okay, here we are, this is the Jews, shall be cast out in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth because of their unbelief and doubt, and they couldn't accept God's Messiah that came to the earth. So he explains this parable back here in chapter 13. And then verse 40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Now this is very key, because in verse 30 it says first. He gathers the tares. So he's going to take out the wicked first, and then what? Those that are left over will go into the kingdom of God. This kind of gives us an understanding about something else I might talk about here in a moment, that the Jewish people didn't know this and didn't understand, because a lot of them didn't even look at this. The book, this wasn't even written for them. But the words that Jesus said, they couldn't comprehend it, even when they heard it with their own ears. But he tells what he's going to do. He says, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Well, when's the end of the world? With the end of Jacob's trouble, when all this was going to come to a conclusion. And then verse 41 says, the Son of Man shall send forth what? His angels, those are the reapers, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do what? Iniquity. The worst kind of sin. Verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, no, they didn't really understand all that, did they?
No.
But see, he explained this to kind of give them a clue to hone in on what he was trying to accomplish to tell them. And so the key thing with all this was he was letting them know that all the wicked's going to be taken off the earth first, and those that remain that make it through Jacob's trouble will go into the kingdom of God. Isn't that wonderful to see that?
That's awesome. Yeah.
So this is another thing that he had to probably, he might have went on for quite a while with him, those 40 days on the earth, to share the There's seven parables here, and they all have a significant meaning to see what God was wanting to show us. Here's another one I think I'm sure they had a problem with. Verse 31 in Matthew 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it grows, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Well, if you look at a mustard seed and the bush, it's a bush, not a tree. It's a real bush. So this is God, Jesus is telling the disciples there's an anomaly that's going to come that's out of proportion the way it should be. And so he's sharing those mustard seeds will never turn into a tree. And so men has done things and caused things to happen. And so it says here the herbs, and they'll become a tree, so the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Birds is always a picture of what? The enemy coming. And so here we got huge churches today that are not doing what God wants. And so it's like all the people gather there, like the birds are all coming in there, and they're being taught things that's contrary to the Word of God. So he's warning them right here.
It's being taught a lot of false doctrine.
That's right. So he's warning them right now with those two verses about false doctrine that's going to come and produce things that God doesn't want in the body of Christ.
And we know there's false doctrine in the church, sure. and probably in every church, but it's right. Greater in some churches, because we know that we're not supposed to have any other gods before
that's
us.
That's right.
Or any idols, or mm-hmm. we're not supposed to have other type, you know, church is not a program, it's not for programs, and it's not for, it's to come to worship God. Worship God, worship God.
That's
what
right.
It says, we're to worship God. I wonder how, I think one of them that is really through the disciples is when they went fishing. They said, well, they're going to go back to their fishing.
Their trade right? They had, right.
So they're out in their fishing boat, right? And they're not catching any fish all night. They didn't catch any fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they see a man on the shore, right?
Yeah.
And they finally realized it was Yeshua.
Mm-hmm. And Peter certainly did, didn't he?
Yeah, and he told them to cast their nets on the other side, on the other side. See, they were on the wrong side. God wanted to get them on the right side.
Amen.
And the right side was not catching fish that you eat, but catching
men.
souls. And so even as Yeshua already had the meal prepared, they didn't really need to bring any fish in for him to cook, because they brought in it's also interesting about the number of fish that they brought in.
153 fish. They taught about this before, yeah.
Right. So that right there, that is a really a deep teaching.
That's
there.
Right.
And they didn't even comprehend all that until later on, because, you know, even when God says a certain number, there's a reason for
that's
it.
That's right.
And so when they came to shore, they had this. Yeshua had already had the meal prepared for them. He had already prepared the meal, just like he fed the 5,000 with just a few fish and a couple loaves of bread. You know, so right there, you know, they were going back to their old way, and so that's almost like the picture of the picture of the sower, you know. They were going to go back and do what they were used to doing.
That's right.
Instead of doing the new thing that they were told to do. And at the end of every single one of the Gospels, he tells them that they're to go to Jerusalem and then, you know, to go all to the farthest part of the world and
that's
preach
right.
the gospel. So that was, but, you know, they still hadn't received the Holy Ghost at that point.
Nope, they hadn't.
But I want to go over here to Acts, where it says, and so the Holy Ghost is what gives you the power.
That's right.
To do what God's called you to do. But in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, it says, in verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs.
Hallelujah.
Being seen of them 40 days, it tells us, and speaking of the things
of the kingdom of God,
pertaining to the kingdom of God or heaven. Amen.
Yeah.
I have a reference here from Mark 16:14.
Yeah.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So this must have been getting close to the end of the 40
mm-hmm.
days.
Yeah.
Because they were to wait after he went up to heaven, you know, and they saw him go up. They were to still go back to Jerusalem and wait, because he tells them in verse 5, he says, for John truly baptized with water. We're talking about John the Baptist. He baptized him with water. What, mm-hmm. for repentance?
You're right.
But he says, but ye, or you all, shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, did they really know what the Holy Ghost was? I don't think they did.
No.
They didn't know what the Holy Ghost. They had, some people hadn't even heard of what, we don't even know, we haven't even heard of such a thing as a Holy Ghost.
Faith to believe that,
to be endued with power.
Mm-hmm.
He's in verse 6 says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? See, they were looking for mm-hmm. a restoration, a king. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. Now he's telling them again here in the book of Acts. This is right. What he told them in the Gospels.
Yeah.
And in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So they were to wait, and they didn't know what the Holy Ghost was.
Nope.
But when it happened, wow.
There was a suddenly that came, hallelujah.
It changed their life.
That's right.
But they were obedient. They had spent enough time with Yeshua after his resurrection, and after they decided they were going to follow him and not go back to their fishing, you know.
That's right.
To know that he was the risen Christ. He was the Messiah that was prophesied about.
Hallelujah.
Even though there's things they still didn't understand, but once they received the Holy Ghost is the teacher.
That's right.
And he will tell us things to come, and he will reveal the secrets that he wants to, of God's heart to us when we seek him with all our heart.
That's right.
So did you go to Matthew over there where it said, Mark 16:14, talking about the things of heaven?
Yeah, I was thinking about turning over.
Mark 16:14
says this. Mm-hmm. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then the next verse he says, and he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
That's right.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mm-hmm. And he talks about the signs that will follow.
And these signs shall follow them that believe.
That's right.
In my name shall they cast out devils. So he's telling them again that there's devils and you're going to have to cast them out.
That's right.
They shall speak with new tongues. Now, did they understand that at that time?
Not really.
Perhaps not, because they hadn't received it. You know, you try to explain to somebody about receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Say they're born again and they've been water baptized, but they haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That you can't comprehend it, you can't figure it out in your mind. It's foreign to you. It's like I'm gonna learn a language in one minute. Well, it's the language of heaven. It's not a language that has to be studied.
That's right.
Or memorized, because you can't memorize it.
Nope,
no, it
can't.
When you get it, you receive it. It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You receive it and you have it automatically, and the tongue is there. And it's your tongue, and you have it automatically. And people just have a hard time. You really can't explain it. It's something you have to experience. So it's something you have to experience. And so they hadn't experienced that. And I don't know if they had experienced casting out devils. Well, they did, because they were sent on the road two by two. And, you know, they had to deal with some devils, even though there were some they couldn't cast out. But we know in the name of Jesus, we can cast out devils. And that we can speak with new tongues. Nope, they didn't understand that at that time. But when it happens, when it happens to you, then you don't have to figure it out. You can't figure it out. You can just tell people, you have to believe and receive, and you will experience it. You will have it. It's a gift. It's nothing you beg for, you cry for. No, you just ask and receive. It's a gift.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then it says in verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, we're not talking about playing with snakes, no.
Nope.
We're talking about if you're out doing the work of the gospel.
No matter what it is,
you know, God's going to protect you.
That's right.
Because we have angels. Where's the talk about angels? He'll send his angels. He'll give his angels charge over us.
That's
amen.
Right.
They shall lay hands on the sick. So we can lay hands on the sick. And doesn't it say over there till we're calling the elders of the church and we lay hands on them, anoint them with oil?
And
they shall recover.
That's right.
So these are promises that Yeshua gave his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So then after the Lord had spoken to them, this was right at the very end, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So that's where he's sitting now, interceding for us. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Why is the Lord working with them? Because he promised he would. And confirming the word with signs following. Awesome.
So he doesn't confirm the man. He confirms the words out of the man if it's the truth. Right.
That's right.
That's what's confirmed is his word. It's always His word has to be confirmed, not what man thinks. It's amazing when we think about it.
So many things he spoke to them. And you, God, continued to speak with people even after the resurrection.
Sure.
And teaching them. And we can think about the things that Paul learned. Paul spent much time with the Lord.
All by himself out there.
When he went out into the desert. I mean, yeah. You know, he was persecuting the church. He was there when Stephen was stoned.
Yeah.
And Stephen even had a heavenly vision, you know.
Yeah, saw Jesus on the right hand of the Father.
Saw Jesus there, and that was even before the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw him in the spirit, didn't he?
Right.
And he didn't, it doesn't show that he suffered any pain, because he was looking, he had his spiritual eyes focused on the Lord. And you know, he was one of the first ones to be martyred for Christ, wasn't he?
That's right.
And that I know of, and so many. And Paul was one of the main people that were killing Christians, were killing people that became believers. They didn't actually call them Christians in those days; they called them followers of Christ. Well, the word Christ means what? Anointed Messiah.
Anointed Messiah.
The Anointed Messiah. So.
Excuse me.
But when he had an experience on the road and was blinded for a few days, 3 days.
And on the road to Damascus.
Had that experience. Then he went out and he spent much time with the Lord, didn't he? How many years did you say?
Well, the book of Galatians tells us in the first chapter he was out in the Arabian desert for 3 years all by himself.
Galatians?
Mm-hmm. It's right in the beginning of the chapter. Mm-hmm. Remember he told you in that chapter, he said that man never taught him the things that he shared in the book of Galatians. He says, no man taught me this. The Lord taught him all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So he was right out there near Mount Sinai where God originally spoke to the nation of Israel. And so Paul went out there and spent, it says, 3 years in the wilderness out there. And so he was given the mystery of all the things we see here in the New Testament about the Jew and the Gentile being one in the body of Christ and all. See, Israel for a long time, even the religious leaders, they thought that only the Jews were going to get saved. And yet all through the first covenant, God told them that they were going to be the light to the Gentiles, you know. And who is the light of the world? His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the light. Go
right.
ahead.
It says this right here in Galatians chapter 1, like you said. Mm-hmm. He's verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man.
There you go.
Neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Wow, for you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, or killed them.
Yeah.
So he received much revelation.
Then he goes on down and tells you a few verses later that no man taught him these things.
Mm-hmm.
It came by the Holy Ghost, how he received all that. And so, and you think about it, when he heard all that and all, just think he had the privilege to write 2/3 of the New Testament, these books. And they weren't published before he died. They were all published and done after he died. So you think about it, it's amazing. He probably was, when he got to heaven, he's probably amazed to realize that all those books that he wrote.
It says here in chapter 2, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So 14 years, that's a long time.
That's,
you know?
Right.
And he says, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles.
That's right.
The same so he one spent the received. Rest of the rest of his life. Preaching the gospel, and he didn't receive it from man. He received it from the Lord Jesus Christ
That's
himself.
Right. That's right.
By revelation of Jesus Christ, or Yeshua Christ, we know Yeshua means, and Jesus also means Savior, and Christ means the Anointed One.
That's right.
Thank
amazing,
you,
huh?
Amazing, amazing.
So he said a lot of things that they didn't understand. I always, my concern was, we see over there in John, and all at the end of the John's gospel, that they were so confused that a bunch of them decided to go back to their trade before they walked with Jesus for 3.5 years,
mm-hmm.
and that was to be a fisherman. They were totally confused, and so that's what happened. And so thank God that the Lord appeared to them and all and told them to go to Jerusalem and to tarry and all. But also that he appeared to them and spent 40 days with them at different times to teach them about the kingdom of God. Things that they probably should have known, but they didn't know. And so much probably was clarified. We don't know all the details, but there was a lot that he revealed to them that they needed to understand. And we talked about Paul here, you know. Well, Paul, no man taught him. He went out in the Arabian desert, and the Lord spoke to him directly. The Holy Ghost shared with him, told him. And this is how these epistles were written, that Paul wrote, to show us the fullness of the Godhead and the fullness of what God wanted for the church of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, you know, Jew and Gentile together, and how to walk in righteousness and holiness and all the things he put in place, sanctification, all these things that he wanted them to fully understand. And I always like what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7. You know, after he got saved, he was going through the same struggles that a lot of us do all the time, you know, even though he was born again. And he realized that there was something involved with his personal life, and we know it's the devil and the sin nature that was struggling with him, and some things he wanted to do he didn't, and vice versa. And at the end of all that, he cried out, says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, how can I be delivered from this?" And so the Lord told him then that it was the whole thing was he had to walk with the Lord, he had to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And all that would happen in the right way with him. And so he began to realize that. So he began to preach that as well. So we're the same way, aren't we, Pastor Donna? We have to know the fullness of God, know that he loves us so much, he cares about us, and he wants us to walk a holy and righteous life. And so that's where we come back to the... Jesus said a lot of things, what we should do, and the apostles, but also we need to go back to the first covenant. And that was a pattern. All those laws that were there and the statutes and commandments were there for our benefit. They weren't something that God just made up. They were there for our benefit. And we don't do all the legalistic things today, but there's a spirit behind all those, and that's what we want. There's a truth there that we need to know. And so it's brought into the New Testament, and it's been, if it's not reclarified, it comes right into the New Testament again. And then Jesus just, he just verified that, and also the disciples did as well, as they went out about all the things that God put in place. And that's what the Torah was for, was to show us how to walk a holy and righteous life before the Lord. And if we follow him, well, then we'll be walking in that place he'd have us to be. And we won't deviate off the path that he's got. And so this is what the entire book's about. It's about Yeshua. It's his word. Remember what John said? In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. And so I think about what we have, this book I have in front of me. This is our life. This is a lifeline to the spirit world. To understand, you know, we get baptized in the Holy Ghost, we're moving into the supernatural in a great way. And so this book reinforces everything that we're talking about, and he wants us to know even more, and the Spirit will show us things. But it cannot contradict the Word of God in any way, shape, or form. It has to line up with what God gave us in the very beginning. As we said, his Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeshua himself is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No change. And so we have to learn that and walk in the fullness of that. And the sad thing also today, Pastor Donna, is we've got all these different translations now. It brings so much confusion in the body of Christ. All these different translations. We need to be like-minded, have the same word. When the minister is going to share the word, opens up the Bible, we should all be in that same book. We can't be in two or three or five or six or seven or eight different Bible translations. We're going to miss out on something. And so we got to remember that. So we got a lot of confusion going on in the church today. And it's like leaven in the church. And there's a parable that Jesus talked about leaven also over there in Matthew chapter 13 about the leaven. And three measures of meal was put in into this loaf, which is a picture of the church, and of three measures of meal till the whole was what? Leavened. Mm-hmm. And so we know leaven is always a picture of what? Sin, corruption, and all that. And so he's warning us right there as well that we got to stay with God's word. We can't change it. We can't make up and put what we think in a translation. We have to understand what God gave us, and that's what we have to have in our hands to read and understand. And it makes us fall in love with him even more. So we have an incredible book here called the Holy Bible. Amen? Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. I was just going back here to where we were talking about the fish.
Okay.
The fish, the 153 fish.
Because
this was after, you know, Jesus had already resurrected. And
that's right.
They were out fishing. And
they all went back to
Jesus
fishing.
Jesus said, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew up the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Mm-hmm. That shows you right there, you know, God's the one who protects the net and keeps it from breaking, amen, when
That's right.
when people come to the Lord. So Jesus tells him, he says, come and dine. Now Jesus asks Simon Peter some interesting questions, and this might be something that we need to ask ourselves, because I think it's an example to every believer where they're at with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask him, he says, come and dine. What is it? When you come and dine with somebody, you're having fellowship with them. You're not just eating fish
That's
or
right.
bread. You know, you're having fellowship. It's not just eat and run like they do, so many families do. You know, you need to have fellowship. So in verse 15, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter. So they had already had dined. They're sitting there around the fire or whatever. Simon, he says, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? So Jesus is asking him a question. And so he could be asking us the same question. Amen. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep.
Sheep.
My lambs, I rather. He
Our
says,
lambs.
Feed
the
my
baby,
lambs.
The baby ones, yeah.
Uh-huh. In verse 16, he saith unto him again, the second time. So I ask you something, the same question the second
yeah.
time. You start to think, don't you? He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Sheep are older.
That's right. They're grown sheep, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And verse 17, and he saith unto him the third time, three times now.
Yeah,
Simon
this is
must
key
be getting
now.
A little
yeah.
frustrated. Simon, mm-hmm. son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. So he just said, you know it. You know, you have the answer. You know all things.
That's right.
Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. He repeated the same thing. Then Jesus, Yeshua, went and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. He's telling him, and he probably didn't understand that. He's giving him a clue. He's telling him that, you know, you follow me, but you're going to suffer persecution
Bear
along
price.
The way.
You left out the verse about the lambs, too.
No, I didn't.
Oh, did you?
I read it.
Okay.
This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify.
That's right.
He should glorify God, because
mm-hmm.
his death was to glorify God, and it wasn't a pretty death.
No,
you know,
it wasn't
a pretty death at all.
No.
No. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me.
That's
and
right.
that's what Jesus is telling us all, right,
that's
isn't
right.
he?
Take up
He's
our cross
telling
and
us
follow.
To take up our cross and follow to him. Follow him.
That's right.
Do you love him? How much do you love him? Do you love his lambs? Do you love his sheep?
That's right.
Do you love his people?
Yep. And yeah. Peter was hung. He refused to be hung on a cross like Jesus died. He said, I'm not worthy. Hang me upside down. And history shows that's what happened to him. He was hung upside down on a cross and died.
Mm-hmm.
But it must have been a terrible death, too.
Now, you know, Simon Peter, he was Jewish, and he didn't understand about the Gentiles.
That's right.
Didn't he?
No. Nope.
He didn't understand that until later on, even after the resurrection, after Jesus had gone on back home, back up to the Father and sitting mm-hmm. at the right hand of the Father. So he learned these things. So we continue to learn, and we continue to get more understanding, more revelation, if you want to call it. But Peter didn't even understand about, because he's telling him, you know, you're going to feed these sheep, these Jewish people, but yet you're also going to be feeding the Gentiles, because I'm not going to just, it's not, I didn't come just for one group of people. I came for
all people.
And so many people, says, because you're not, and it said Jerusalem, you know, Judea, Samaria, and what? To the uttermost
parts of the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was showing him that, you know, you're going to feed sheep, you're going to feed lambs, and I feel like maybe perhaps the second set of lambs would be the Gentiles. I don't know. That's just something that
there might be a real deep meaning in thinking about this too. You know, Peter was sent to the Jews, and Paul was sent to the Gentiles.
Yes, but think about when the sheep came down.
That's right.
And all the animals were in there, and all those different animals don't represent animals; they represent nations,
different people,
and Gentile people in all different places. So and Peter didn't understand that.
That's right.
You know, and that's another whole thing.
So maybe that's why
we can talk on another time.
Yeah, that's why Paul was chosen to go to the Gentiles, because he really knew the Torah. Peter was not an educated man like Paul was in the things of God. Paul was a Pharisee. Peter was not. He was a fisherman. So there might be some connection here how God chose Paul to go to the people that would have a hard time understanding things, and Paul was the one that came and described it. And so he just sent Peter to his own people.
You'd almost think it would be the other way around, yeah. because Paul understood Judaism.
That's right.
But they were both Jews. They were,
that's
you
right.
know, so they had to all know their Judaism, and most likely they were all
They had a purpose that they fulfilled, didn't they?
They had a purpose to fulfill.
And they did it.
But, you know, Simon Peter had and they all had different personalities, and we can go back and we can study Simon Peter's personality. You know, he was a strong person, and a strong person in the convictions, but he was also a person who spoke out many times, and lots of
That's
many
right.
times he spoke out just exactly what he was supposed to say, because Jesus said, you know, who do men say that
That's
I
right.
am? And then other times he would speak out, and Jesus would say, get behind me, Satan. But he wasn't speaking to sin. He was speaking to the spirit that was speaking through him. And many times, don't we say things? Sometimes we might say something really godly, and then the next time
moment,
we might
something,
say
yeah.
something that's soulish.
Yeah.
So we need to
that's
try
the part
to,
of growing up, isn't it?
That's right.
And maturing.
And try to line up our thoughts with the Word of God, that the seed that's been sown in our hearts. So
we'll
produce fruit. And what? Some, then Jesus said, some are going to produce different kinds of fruit. 30-fold,
that's right.
30, 60,
and 100-fold.
100-fold.
That's right.
And I don't know if anybody ever makes 100-fold. Maybe Paul did, and the disciples, I don't know. But I think it's probably hard to reach that number. But we need to press on and do what he says at the very end. Follow me. Follow mm-hmm. me. That's all Jesus says to do.
That's right.
He says, just follow me.
Mm-hmm.
If we follow him, he's going to lead us into all truth, isn't he?
That's right.
He's going to lead us into all truth. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday from 12 to noon. We're also on the internet, 89.9 FM radio station, and also on the internet, WCNO.com. You can go back and listen to this little teaching again if you'd like to. If you didn't catch it all, you want to like to have a copy of a CD, you can give us a call. We'd be glad to send you a copy. And
or my book.
Well, Pastor Gene has a book about the pictures of the Messiah and all the feasts of the Lord, and also teaching in there on Daniel and the book of Revelation and on the calendar. It's a college course, and I know you'd be blessed. We just spoke to somebody who came to our Passover Seder and said they read it 3 times.
That's right.
And then we have other people that have taken it, and they're teaching it in a
different
Baptist
parts,
church,
yeah.
different kinds of churches, different
mm-hmm.
places in the world. It's a it gives you a lot of information. And if you have any questions, you can certainly call Pastor Gene and speak to him. So we have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday night, 7 p.m., Sunday, tomorrow at 10 a.m. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
And we'll remind you again, we won't have a class today at 4 o'clock.
Amen.
So it's a one Saturday that we take off. And so we trust you've been blessed with what you heard. Dig into the Word yourself.
Amen.
Be that Berean. Find out if you've got peace in your heart to believe things, because you're going to hear all kinds of things coming through, even through the church today. And you need to have discernment. And so
Amen.
We're on this program because we love people, and we want to see people raised to a new dimension with the Lord, to bring them to some place they've never been spiritually. And so as we close this program every week, we tell you to look up
mm-hmm.
because your redemption draweth nigh, and we love you. What do we say when we close,
Pastor? Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.